Let's pray.
Господи, мы действительно можем
говорить. That really may say we are not afraid because you are with us. You came to this world and you became a human.
Невозможно представить,
we can't imagine you could became so close to us. The God became a human being and experienced all suffering and all attacks of temptations. So you understand everything. You can help those who are under temptation. Now it's so easy for us to know that you experienced everything on your own, so we can trust our lives into your hands. Please bless us now to learn from you and learn from your word. Amen. Please take your seats. Please open Luke chapter 4.
Мы продолжаем погружаться в жизнь Иисуса Христа. Мы продолжаем нашу борьбу за образ Иисуса Христа в нашей душе.
We keep on diving into Jesus' life and we fight against formal perception of Christ. We fight for our soul to see the whole glory of Christ. So, four Gospels could become the most overwhelming part of Scripture for us, and we all know that oftentimes it's not so. And it's the fight of each and every one of us. It's our private fight. Let God bless us to bear this responsibility now. Luke in chapter 4, in Mark and Matthew, they describe the temptations of Jesus Christ. We've been into this text before, and we saw that this text reveals that God is the winner. Jesus is the winner, the only one of a kind, the only of a kind who managed to do this, and as we see him as a mediator of our soul to the victory. And we would like, with this sermon, we would like to answer the question how to overcome temptation. First of all, let's take a look at temptations in the life of a human. In the heart of each person, there is a certain temptation from time to time. There are no people who would not experience the pressure upon their souls. What is temptation? Temptation is a certain idea that came to a brain. Our temptations may be represented as thoughts. About certain people, and we are fulfilled with certain thoughts, and sometimes we find ourselves talking to this person in our mind, and it brings us certain emotions, and they can also direct us to temptations. After all, temptation is a desire, a certain desire that is rising in our mind upon certain circumstances, and we start to have this desire that contradicts contradicts God's holiness. The desire that the desire itself is not a sin. We have not actually realized this desire. So it's kind of the name of it is a temptation, and it's against God's holiness and God's commandments. It's like a different path. Temptations grow within us. There can be some circumstances that have some impact on us, but afterwards temptations grow in our inside us, and there is a battlefield with temptations. Temptations are always of a friendly manner. They sound like an answer, a relief of the situation, as a better solution to a situation, and the most wise move in life. And here's the tricky thing about temptations. They come as something really good that that focus some joy and happiness in future. They're always friendly, and they tend to ruin the human, the nature of temptation, of any actions and inclinations that are not biblical. They are very fluffy in the beginning, but very ruining in the end. So it says, what you sow is what you have in the end. So the temptation goes against God's will and against the nature of good. So it's always of ruining nature. They come from three sides. That's what the Bible says. First of all, our personal inclination to sin. The sinful part of our nature. We are inclined to sin. It's very essential. And the second thing is the impact of the world. We are living in the world that is not moving, not by biblical logic. You can check for hundreds of movies, and God does not exist over there.
Оттуда тоже приходит искушение, когда что-то рядом происходит, кто-то живет по-другому, кто-то нам что-то предлагает.
When something lives differently, it also takes us to temptation. We have certain desires. We start to have certain desires. The third side of temptation is the ideas dropped by devil to our heart. He throws it over the hedge, and we kind of start to, we find it very difficult to differentiate if it's my idea or somebody else's idea, and it's not that important in the end, because it's a three-side attack. We are not living on the beach as we just enjoy ourselves and our lives. We are living in a different situation. We are on the battlefield. And the spiritual war is very strategic and well thought. And this war is, we cannot easily perceive this as war. We sometimes think, I'm just tired, I'm just not in the mood today, or I'm just having a headache, and that's why I'm impatient. Unfortunately, we do not notice neither attacks nor the spiritual wounds. Sometimes as we fail, as we did the wrong things, we interpret it in a different way. We do not see that there is a special spiritual battle. And this is a special feature of the spiritual war and spiritual temptations. They are very masked. But the true Christians who read the Bible, they are not blind, in spite of formal Christians or non-Christians. So they really notice the fire arrows of temptations. And here is the questions our sermon is meant to answer. How to overcome temptations. Okay, I notice these thoughts and ideas and values. I see those desires that really strong. How to overcome it seems impossible. This is going to be the topic of our sermon, and we'll check how Jesus overcame the temptations. The Luke chapter 4,
с первого стиха мы прочитаем до 14. Иисус, исполненный Духа Святого, возвратился от Иордана и поведен был Духом в пустыню. Там он был 40 дней, искушаем.
And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve."
И ему одному служи. И повел его в Иерусалим.
And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. If you look at this battle, in general, you see that Jesus was tempted for 40 days, and after all the temptation, after 40 days, when Jesus was tired, when Jesus was hungry, he was in the wilderness, among stones. And it was hot, very hot. Jesus was weary. And then the devil came and offered Jesus very, very lawful things, as it looks. He offered Jesus the best ideas of beginning his ministry, of becoming popular at the very, very start of the ministry. When Jesus was very exhausted, the Satan offered him the brilliant solutions to every problem Jesus had. the best of the best of the best solutions. Were offered to Jesus, not the primitive things. Maybe it looks to us strange, you know, jumping down the temple, but in fact, if you look closer to these temptations, we can see a few general ideas behind them. Look, he starts with the phrase, if you are the Son of God. We see that Jesus is struggling and he uses the Word of God, the written Word of God, the words that we have too. Jesus being the Word of God himself, being the Word of God in flesh, quotes what is written in the Scriptures. Jesus remembered the text, he quoted it, and it was not in vain that he was doing it. Also, when we look at these temptations, we can see some general facts of the spiritual battle. Fact number one, Satan cannot tempt as long as he wants, but as long as the Lord allows him to. You see that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, and he allowed the Satan to tempt Jesus. But there was a limit put to it by the Lord. God controls all the temptations, and we are not wholly, we are not completely surrendered to Satan. No. It is all under control of the Almighty One. Second general thing is that Satan has synchronized his temptations with the inner needs and desires of a human being. Therefore, he addresses the inner desires and tries to evoke the inner values in the heart of Jesus. Look, this battle is not a mystical thing. It is not some kind of magic. No, it's a dialogue. And Satan is talking about the values, the desires, the needs of a human being. Next thing. Satan tempts with something that is interesting, that is desired by a man. He tempts with something that looks very valuable, very bright, very beautiful, very worthy in our eyes, something that we want very much. And Satan addresses these things. He doesn't tempt us with something stupid, something worthless, something strange. So there is a big and good strategy behind any temptation performed by the devil. The devil offers something that is desired, and he can even explain it and motivate it with the Bible, with the words in the Holy Scripture. Look, he provides very good biblical grounds for his temptation. Next thing, Satan tempts us in the same things, with the same things that he used to tempt Adam and Eve. We are all created in a similar way, and there are some typical things that actually tempt us. If you look at Adam and Eve, we can learn a lot about temptation from the very, very beginning. In 1 John 2:16, it says, there are three things that tempt us. The desire of the flesh, the desire of eyes. When we see something and we want it, it attracts us. It looks good. We observe it, and it begins to touch our hearts. And the pride. These three things are the keys to our hearts. The human pride has a very big meaning for us. We want to be good, we want to look good, we want to be important. And all our lives we struggle for this importance. Even nations sometimes fall when people have this feeling of humiliation. There are people who cannot stand the jokes about their nationality or some certain traits that they may have. Pride is a very big thing in a human life. Next thing, next conclusion that we can make is we can overcome Satan with the help of the Word of God, and only when we are obedient to the Lord and His Word. So first, we have to withstand Satan with his temptation, with the knowledge of truth, with obedience to the truth. Secondly, we can only win when we know the truth and when we obey the truth in our hearts and when we reject the desires and choose to love and obey the Lord. Unfortunately, we tend to think that the spiritual battle is when some special priests or some very spiritual people can drive out demons out of people. This looks grand, this looks bright. And sometimes this is perceived as a spiritual battle, but in fact it's deeper. It looks simpler, but it's deeper. So these were some general observations. Now let's look closer at the first temptation. Matthew 4:1-11. We see that Jesus was tempted by the devil for 40 days in the wilderness. And these temptations that we can read about are the last three. So this was the hardest time when Jesus was exhausted physically, emotionally. And this is one of the three last temptations. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread. Look, it's very simple. When Matthew writes about it, he says the devil came up to Jesus more than 40 days of temptation, and now the last battle, the last attack. The devil says, if you are the Son of God, in the Greek language, this phrase sounds a bit different. In the Greek language, we can see that Satan is sure that Jesus is the Son of God. And it is evident from this phrase. Here, as we read it in English, it sounds like the devil doubts it. But in fact, in Greek language, it is clear that Satan is sure about it. He doesn't question the holiness and the divinity of Jesus. Remember, the evil spirits said that Jesus was the Son of God, and they testified about Jesus. So it is clear and evident to Satan and his servants that Jesus is the Son of God. But here, he kind of doubts it. He's trying to somehow catch Jesus, to punch him. He can see that Jesus is very exhausted, very tired, skinny, with stiff eyes, hungry. And here is what the Satan does. He tries to humiliate Jesus in a very crafty way. He kind of slaps him in the cheek. The creation questions the divinity of the Lord, because Satan is the creation. He was created by God. With these words, he kind of tries to say that maybe Jesus is not the Son of God. He knows he is, but with this phrase, he kind of questions it and says that maybe Jesus is a liar, maybe he's not God. He tries to tell Jesus that Jesus has to prove his divinity to Satan, which is nonsense. Satan is trying to force Jesus to use a certain power to show his divinity, because all he can see now is a humiliated human being. Is a very skinny, tired human being, an ordinary human being. This is what Jesus looks at the moment. So Satan is trying to evoke, to wake up this feeling of injustice in Jesus' heart and force Jesus to sin and try to prove his divinity to Satan. Secondly, he is addressing the natural human needs of Jesus. Look, this is a lawful right of Jesus to eat and drink. He is a human being. And this temptation looks quite natural. This suggestion looks very, very just and very natural, but not in this case. Look, so often we understand that we should follow in Jesus' footsteps, we should obey the Lord, we should do this and that, we know what is just and what is not, we know what is lawful, what is not, but so often we have a feeling, an inkling, just a little thought crossing our mind that we can relax for a moment, just for a moment. We deserve it. We deserve a little chocolate. We deserve this glass of coffee. We deserve to relax and watch something. It's just for a moment. We are Christians. Everything is okay with us. We are saved. Why not? It's not a big sin. And here, Satan is offering to Jesus a piece of bread. It looks okay, but it is not in this context, because Jesus has to be fasting. He has to be going through all of these hardships. He has to stay obedient to the Lord till the very end.
Родственников нет благород. Ты родился в хлеву. Ну подумай, это не соответствует, это неправильно.
Look, ну, ты терпел, Jesus is God, and he was born into a very poor family. He didn't have a proper home. He was born in the barn.
Может, немного. Ты 30 лет прожил, тебя никто не знает.
He didn't have a normal cradle like other children.
И вот кажется,
he lived a very hard life, and look, until that moment Jesus was obedient to the Lord, Jesus was holy, Jesus never sinned and stuff, and now Satan says, come on, do this very little thing, just have a piece of bread, come on, you deserve it, you can do it. If you are the Son of God, you can do it. Why not? Take care of yourself. Why should you suffer so much? You don't deserve this suffering. You are the king in the end. Come on, take care of yourself. You can do it. There's nothing bad in having a piece of bread. So Satan offers Jesus to take this situation in his own hands and stop trusting God the Father. Satan offers Jesus to use his divine power . Just imagine this temptation. Jesus can do it. He is God. Here's an example for the man. Not to hit somebody in the face when you are humiliated. And it's easy for a man like me, who is not tall, who is not strong, but it's a different story for a man who is big and tough. If you have an experience, a fighting experience, if you are strong, if you are big, if you are scary, and somebody tries to humiliate you, you just give him a little lesson. You just let him understand that he's not right. You just let him understand that he's sinning against you and he shouldn't do that. And Satan tells you, come on, do it. Jesus had the real power to do anything, to turn a rock into a piece of bread, to satisfy his lawful, natural needs. And Satan says, take what belongs to you. Satan tempts us in the same way. He reminds us about our natural needs and desires. He offers us to reject the long and thorny path that leads us to the cross, but to choose the short and easier way of grasping, of claiming what we want and what we think we need. He addresses us with very natural things. We want to be desired. We want our self-esteem to be high because we deserve it. We want to have certain things, gadgets, phones, a car, a home. We want to have rest, we want to go somewhere on vacation. We want to entertain ourselves, and these are natural needs that we have. But the question is, what is the price? At what price we sometimes get it? Oftentimes, we lose the battle. Satan offers us normal, natural things and offers us to get them. Against the will of God. And now when we think about Jesus, just imagine how strong this temptation was for Jesus. He was incredibly hungry. 40 days without food. After the triumph of baptism, Jesus is left alone in the wilderness, and there is no one except animals and angels that served him. But it looks like God the Father is far away, and Jesus is left there, weary, exhausted, tired, sad. What a strong desire that Satan brought into the heart of Jesus. Look, there are some desires that sometimes burn from inside. You have to go to bed, but you can't. You're surfing the internet and you cannot stop. You should wake up. You should get up. You must get up. You're running late, but you can't. You can't wake up in the morning. You want just a little candy. You want 5 minutes of rest. And these are good desires, but they may come at a wrong time. And I come home, and my wife looks at me, and I don't see enough love in her eyes. And I feel humiliated, I feel abandoned. I deserve the love, I deserve all the respect from my wife. She is my wife in the end. But I'm tired, I'm hungry, I had a bad day. And here is my wife with children, tired, nervous, and I am ready to sin. Now I'd like to offer you to look into 5 levels of this temptation. Level number 1. But this temptation addresses the natural desires of a body, the natural desire of a flesh. Secondly, this temptation addresses our desire, the desire of our souls to get distracted from the constant feeling of suffering. A few days ago, I bought little candies, a box of candy, and I put it in my room. And from time to time, I open it and I take a candy and eat it. I like it, but sometimes I think, why do I do it? I write a sermon, I get tired, and then I take this little candy and it distracts me. It gives me a little joy. It is just a little pleasure for my soul. And Satan tempts the souls of Christians with things that simply distract them for a while from the suffering of their lives. Thirdly, this temptation was addressed to the one who was serving the Lord, who had a very hard, a very difficult ministry.
Такие сложные, такие непоследовательные.
Jesus had to do tremendous things in 3 years only. And there was a very hard task. Put before Jesus. And now what Satan says is, come on, you will have to serve. You will have to do a lot. You will be tired so many times. Take care of yourself. Take care of your body. Take care of your flesh. Come on, eat this piece of bread. I remember once I went to a conference, and when I arrived, I was tired and hungry. And when I arrived, the people who met me offered me a cup of tea and a cookie. You can't imagine how much it meant to me at that moment. What a rescue it was for me. Now imagine that we have a sign at the entrance. Those who come to our church will receive an iPhone S. Just imagine how many people would come. We would have to rent a stadium at least. Or there are certain preachers that offer wealth and good health and healing. And many other things that God would kind of promise to those who would follow Him. We have a lot of such preachers here in Ukraine, and people follow them. Lots of people follow them. Thousands of people follow them. Remember the elections that we had in Ukraine when old people would vote, give up their votes for a pack of buckwheat and some canned food. It sounds stupid, it sounds unbelievable, but some people do it. So you understand, yeah? It's a big temptation. Food can be a big temptation. Some physical pleasure can be a very big temptation. Fourth level of temptation is meant to lead a Christian astray from trusting in the Lord. It is meant to break us apart from the Lord, to make us stop trusting God. Sometimes I, as a pastor, try to help some Christian, and I have the love for this person. I want to help. I have a great desire to help, to bring about this change in his life. And I pray and I do all I can and I talk to this person and nothing changes. And in the end, I become disappointed. And sometimes I may stop trusting the Lord and stop believing that the Lord can really do something, that he really wants to do something, that he wants to help his children. Like me, like that Christian guy who is in trouble. And the fifth level of temptation is meant to bring Jesus off the path that he chose to be a humble minister. Jesus looked very simple, very humble, a man that had a lot of suffering in his life. Jesus wasn't a bright and charismatic leader. He wasn't a popular preacher. He wasn't a bright speaker. a talented speaker. Jesus was very, very humble, and Satan was trying to persuade Jesus to choose a different path and come as a bright, charismatic leader, full of power, full of talents. Look, if Jesus really jumped off the pinnacle of the temple and people saw this miracle, they would certainly say that Jesus was at least a great prophet and follow him, but Jesus didn't do it. Now look, Jesus didn't say something special, something magical. He didn't use a spell against Satan. He didn't make any tricks. He was calm, and he was fighting with Satan with mere words, from the scripture, nothing more. And Jesus answered him, it is written, look, he addresses the word of God written in the scriptures. And this word of God has the power to fight off the biggest, the toughest attacks of the Satan. And Jesus knows that there is enough power in his word. Jesus speaks to the Satan and says, he takes the word of God as a sword, as a powerful sword, and fights off the temptation. I remember once I was tempted. I had a very big and tough temptation, and I was trying to remember a passage in the scripture, and I couldn't. And I was trying hard, and I couldn't remember it. And I would pray to the Lord to remind me this passage, and I remembered, and I felt like the clouds in my head were disseminated, and a ray of light pierced my brain. I received the power from the Lord. I received something that can really help. And here is what Jesus says. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And Matthew adds, but by any word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus is leaning on the Bible. The Satan tempts the Son of God and says, why suffer in the wilderness if you are a Son of God? How could a loving father leave his only son abandoned in a desert, hungry and exhausted? Moreover, it's written in the Old Testament that a righteous man will not die of hunger or thirst. And look what is happening now. Jesus is in the wilderness, barely alive. So what is wrong then? Has the Holy and Almighty Heavenly Father forgotten about his Son?
Отца есть недочет, он не позаботился, позаботься о себе.
It sounds like the Father is not taking proper care of Jesus, and Satan offers Jesus to take care of himself. Let's come back to Deuteronomy, chapter 22. Moses wrote this book for the younger generation of Israelites. The older generation died in the desert during 40 years. And 40 years, during all these 40 years, God gave them manna to eat. And if God didn't give them this manna to eat, they would all die. But God took care of them for 40 years, giving them food and providing everything for needed for their lives until they naturally died. Israelites could take this manna as something divine. Like in Ukrainian schools in older times, people would say that bread is the main thing in life. Ukrainians had to go through three famines, and they know perfectly well what it means to die of hunger. If you have a piece of bread, you're alive. If you don't, you die. And you look at this bread and you say, this is my life. When people stayed in the wilderness, they could also say that manna was their life. But Moses teaches them in a different way. This is the understanding of life. In those times, people believed that their lives depended on food. Now we also believe that, but we also believe that our lives depend on air conditioning, good jobs, good food, healthy food, sports, children, a lot of other things. And you live with all of that, and you come to an understanding that this is what makes your life. And if God takes something away, you will die. This is why people used to kill for a piece of bread, used to murder for food. That's how people see the world. That's how people see the life. And here, the Satan comes and says, Jesus, come on, this is your life. You die if you don't eat. Come on, make the stone a piece of bread. But Jesus says, I know what life is. I know what life is for me. And I have a different understanding of it. So let's come back to the Deuteronomy and see what Moses says.
Все заповеди, которые я заповедую вам сегодня, Моисей говорит, старайтесь исполнять, дабы вы были живы и размножились. Заповеди Божьи – ваша жизнь. Заповеди Божьи – ваш успех, размножение народа.
Now, all these commandments that I gave to you, you shall obey them.
Народа и много-много всего. Все заповеди, которые я заповедую вам сегодня, старайтесь исполнять, дабы вы были живы и размножились.
Try to obey all these commandments so that you would be alive, so that you could live.
Смотрите, что с вашими родителями произошло. Они все погибли за неверие в Божье слово и за непослушание, а не из-за пустыни.
And look what he says.
Не старость их убила.
Israelites, consider your parents. They died in the wilderness not because they didn't have enough water or enough food. and not because they didn't have homes or anything else. They all died because of their disobedience to the Lord. God was with them, and His grace was over them, and God provided food and water for them. And now Moses speaks to the younger generation and tells them, look at your fathers and learn from them. Here is life for you, and this life is obedience to the Word of God, trust in the Lord Almighty, and love to the Lord. Remember the path along which the Lord was leading you. Remember how you were standing before the face of death and you didn't die. Remember how the Lord was leading you through the wilderness for 40 years already. Because the Lord is evil? No. Because the Lord doesn't have enough power to give you fruits and vegetables apart from manna? No. Because the Lord cannot find a way for you to come to the promised land? No. You spent 40 years in the wilderness because God had a goal for you. He had a purpose for you. He wanted to teach you humbleness. He wants you to see your own heart, to understand what you are, who you are, to see the evil in your heart. The Lord wants to show you what you really love, what you really value, what you really want and need. Is it the Lord or something else? And this is the reason why you feel lonely. This is the reason why you have a bad salary or a bad job or a bad political situation in the country or bad relationships with other people. It is not because God is evil, but because the Lord wants to change our hearts and give us something bigger than a cell phone or a good salary or respect from people. Your life is not in the things. Your life is in the Lord and His Word. Millions of people die in wealthy countries, unhappy, broken. I don't mean that all people are like that. No. But there are millions of people all around the world who have everything and who are miserable and lonely, abandoned and helpless. Yes, we may come through hard times in our lives, but we have to stop and think, what is life for us? Where is our life, the job, the children, entertainment, or obedience to the one who created us and to the one who truly loves us and knows us to the depth of our hearts? This is basically the most important question of our lives. Where is the life for us? It is written that further on that God was humbling the Israelites, giving them the food unknown to other nations and people. And now the question, why did the Lord do it? To give them one lesson, to show them that it is not only by bread that a man should live, but by a word, every word coming from the mouth of the Lord. Of course, physically we need food, water, clothes. We also need it, but the most important thing in our lives is not bread. The Lord did it all. 40 years, more than a million people for 40 years lived in the wilderness, and God was taking care of them and giving them all necessary. The Lord was working with their hearts, trying to teach them what was the reason for their life, what was the essence of their lives, what was the purpose for them. For 40 years, God was teaching 1 million, then 2 million, and more. 2 million people. And the only purpose of that was to show these people that their life was not bread, their life was not meat, their life was not about anything else. The financial stability, the youth, the beauty, the health, the wealth. The reason why I am alive today is because God decided so. And I can only be happy because the Word of God feeds me, quenches my thirst, and gives me happiness. And when we look around and see how the wealthy, beautiful, famous, healthy people commit suicide only because they wake up and they see that there is no reason why they should live. People kill themselves, and it's the strongest proof that it is not by bread alone that we live. Here in the scripture, we see that Jesus could overcome one of the biggest temptations in his life with the truth from the scriptures.
Что Господь Бог твой учит тебя, как человек учит сына своего. Постепенно дает понимание, дает
The Lord Итак, was taking care of Israelites, was teaching them and teaching their children.
Живи так, чтобы больше никогда не попасть в пустыню.
And what is the purpose of that? What is the conclusion that we should make? Is the conclusion that we should do everything possible to never come into wilderness again? No. The conclusion is, keep the word of God, your Creator. Obey to the Lord of God Almighty. Fill your heart and your mind with His word, because the Lord is leading you to a good land, with rivers and lakes and mountains, the land with wheat and grapes and fig trees and olives and honey, to the land where you will be wealthy, where you will have enough bread, enough water, enough food, the land where you will have copper and iron. And when you come to this land, you should bless the Lord and thank the Lord for the good land that He had given you. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, look for the kingdom of God, thirst for it in the first place, and everything else will come after it.
Нет, это не поэтому.
God decides to bless us and to take away His blessing. And it's solely in His hands. And from time to time, Satan comes and says, take care of yourself. Come on, you should have it under control. Look, you have children, you need a house, you need a car, you need this and that, you need a job, you need respect. And so many people say, yes, this is my life, this is my pride, this is my country, this is my whatever, and people lose in the battle. Yes, maybe they have earned a lot of money, maybe they have reached a certain status in the society, but if a person has no time for the church, if a person has no time for a prayer, if a person has no time for God, he gradually falls lower, lower, and lower. It comes unnoticed. But the whole life of such a person goes to waste. We oftentimes live in illusion that we should do this, this, and this, and then we will have a free time and we will stop and relax and pray. And this is an illusion. We will never stop. And this is what the Lord says to Israelites. Now beware, lest you forget the Lord your God. Lest you forget His laws and commandments that I give to you today. People who forget the Lord are the people who do not obey His word. So when you build the houses and you have plenty of everything,
и не забыл ты Господа Бога твоего, который вывел тебя из земли египетской, из дома рабства, который провел тебя по пустыне великой.
Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be filled up, be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty grounds where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers didn't know, that He might humble you and test you, to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is in this day. My life is not the bread. Yes, bread is important, but my life comes from the hand of the Lord. Today I had breakfast not to live, but because I am alive. I am alive today not because I ate healthy food all my life and I took every care to keep my health and to have everything I need. No, I am alive and I have what I have because the Lord gave it to me. And today I have to say, God, thank you for what I have. And please give me strength to thank you when you take it away. Because the essence of my life, the meaning of my life is not there. Satan comes to you and tries to catch you with many things. Here are your needs. Here is what you need. Here is what you want. Here is your family. And you have to take care of this and this and that and that and that. You need to have it all under control. You need to have it all in your hands to make sure you have it. Look, Jesus was hungry, terribly hungry, but he refused to eat in order to glorify his Father at that very moment. Jesus knew what he was supposed to do, where he was supposed to be. Jesus knew exactly who he was, and he was sure, he was confident that God the Father loved him. He had the wisdom and power to say no. And he had the Word of God in his hand to help him at the moment of temptation. Jesus trusted his needs with God, but not the human logic or the Satan's logic. This is why Jesus was the winner in this battle. Jesus managed to say no to his need because he trusted in the Word of God. Jesus knew that his life was not in physical food, but in the divine power coming from above. My dear friends, if God gives us life, tomorrow we will be alive. If not, nothing will save us. And if you go through hard times, if you go through wilderness in your life, it is for a purpose. It is a path on which you may say the glory of God in your own heart. Let's pray. Father, it's an incredible gift from you. You reveal the invisible part of the life. You explain to us the reasons, the results, the meaning of everything. Every day you give us life. And the meaning of our lives is not in providing for ourselves and believe that this is a guarantee for our happiness. You show us that the meaning of our lives is in you, in your grace, in your mercy. And your word gives us life much more than anything else. Thank you for it. This truth gives us freedom, and I pray that it goes deep into our hearts. I pray that this truth guides us on our paths. I pray that from your word we may have the peace and the confidence. God, help us be the people who believe that even in the wilderness, be safe and happy, because God Almighty is with them. God, I pray that our lives reflect your power, that with our lives we preach to the world that we trust in you. God, please give us the understanding that if we have to go through a famine again, we will die glorifying you. But we will not kill for bread. We will not lie for bread. God, if we are with you, if we hold your hand and trust in you, Satan will not do anything to us. He cannot break us apart from you. God, we always have a choice, and today we stand before a lot of choices. And I pray that if one day we have to vote for either wealth or the freedom to preach the gospel, I pray that we vote for the freedom. God, I pray that we are the people who can give everything, who can sacrifice everything for the sake of your glory, who can lift all that we have on an open hand and say, God, take it away. God, I pray that we live not for our families, but for you. I pray that we are the mothers and the fathers who are an example of a humble Christian to our children. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.